It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last month, the state of New York voted to ban fracking. While many celebrated this news, some saw their visions of an economic boom go bust. We'll get a firsthand account of this latest development with journalist Tom Wilbur, who covers shale gas developments. Later, we'll also talk with Reed Frazier, a reporter for the Allegheny Front, about the impact, if any, New York's decision could have on Pennsylvania and how the Commonwealth shale industry may change under the governorship of Tom Wolf. But first, we'll talk with Tom Wilbur, who is author of, among other books, Under the Surface, which is coming out in paperback sometime next year. Tom Wilbur, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be here.
How big of a surprise was this news, having Governor Andrew Cuomo place this ban on fracking in New York?
Well, it was a big surprise to me, and it was a big surprise to all of my sources. And from what I've been reading in the press and hearing in the mainstream media reports, it was a big surprise to just about everybody. You know, as we know, this has been pending for 7.5 years. Governor Cuomo has been delaying and delaying. There's been news imminent throughout the 7.5 years that there would be some decision that would be coming down the pipeline. And each time we had one of those reports, lo and behold, it would be pushed off or it was unsubstantiated. So the news that there might be some decision coming by at the end of 2014 surfaced again with the elections, with the campaign, the governor's gubernatorial campaign. And he said at that point that there would be some decision at the end of the year, and everybody thought, right, we've heard that before. And lo and behold, there was, and it was a big surprise for everybody. Not only the fact that there was a decision, but the fact that it was so definitive.
And why were there so many delays?
Well, you know, Paul, this politically was a hot potato, and I believe for the governor, he perceived it as a no-win situation. The polls had shown for some time that the New York electorate was split on this issue. People were passionate on both sides, and there was going to be some pain involved making a decision one way or the other, and I think politically it was just easier for him to delay it throughout his first term.
And what do you suppose finally convinced Governor Cuomo to ban fracking in New York State?
Well, there's a lot of factors here, and I think one of them was the timing. It would have been a more difficult decision for him to make to ban it earlier, when the perception was that there was a higher value associated with the resource. And what I mean by that, price gases were higher, natural gas prices were higher. And there was more incentive to drill. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, when the governor first took office, there was still some speculation among shale gas developers that were willing to pay pretty good royalties and pretty good leases to landowners. So there's more money on the table, essentially. All that has gone away now because the price of gas is so low. There's such a glut in the market from Pennsylvania and other places. And the landmen have gone away here. There's no money on the table anymore. So the timing was good. He wasn't really taking a big paycheck away from landowners. And also, it was the very beginning of his second term. So if the decision is unpopular, which it is among certain people up here, landowners in particular, and people who like shale gas, it's going to take 3 or 4 years now he has for people to forget about that decision.
And what about those people that you just identified who want to see fracking, who still feel that it is a greatly needed economic boost to the state of New York? Where are they sitting with this right now?
Well, you know, that's interesting. We hear from the groups like the Joint Landowners Coalition of New York. That's the big land coalition of folks that have property that wanted to lease it to gas companies. And we're about to see how politically significant this group is, because they're going to have a protest here in Binghamton tonight, as a matter of fact, against the governor's decision. And we'll see whether it turns out dozens of people or thousands of people. We know from talking to these folks and the attorneys who represent them that they're very unhappy. As far as I can tell right now, they don't seem to have any substantial backing for a legal battle to challenge Cuomo's decision. But politically, it still remains a hot issue, and we're going to see whether, in fact, that their effort to raise political objections is going to gain any traction.
In other states where fracking has taken place, notably in another of our neighboring states, Ohio, there has been an environmental impact. And one of the things that people have pointed to is earthquakes and saying that may or may not be related to fracking. Is there something in New York that environmentalists point to in terms of a negative impact that fracking has had that might have also factored into this decision?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this gets back to your other question about, what were the factors. And there are many different factors. And I talked a little bit about the politics behind it. But there's a lot of concerns about the public health and safety. And part of the reason it's taken Cuomo and his predecessor, Governor Patterson, so long to make any decision on this were the unknowns associated with it. And with this environmental review that's been going on by the state here for the last 6.5, 7, 8 years, it had a health component to it where the Department of Health here has looked at these various studies from various places that raised issues and concerns about possible health impacts. And when the Commissioner Martens announced this ban. It wasn't actually Cuomo, it was Martens, a couple weeks ago. He cited the literature that showed that there were unanswered questions about public health impacts that raised concerns that this could have a public health impact. And the long and short of it was, he said that he was, and other administrators up here said that they would not be comfortable with this if their own families were in a shale gas zone. So that was had some impact with the governor.
And what is the public health impact?
Well, that's still a big question. I think that the documented it's fairly well documented that drilling can cause methane migration, and this isn't necessarily a fracking thing; it's a drilling thing. But the fracking enables more drilling, right? Because instead of having a shale gas or a natural gas well here and there, when you have high volume fracking, you have a scope, scale, and intensity of drilling that you've never seen before. So with more drilling comes this methane migration where things move through the ground. We're talking about methane, which is natural gas, and other components with it. And this can contaminate water, and so that's been fairly well documented. The industry said, well, we can contain this, we can prevent it, we can increase our casings in these well bores, and we can do a better job. But long and short of it is that the casings in the well bores are not foolproof, and methane gets into the water with drilling. Now, there's other health impacts associated with cumulative impact. That means when you just don't have a few shale gas wells, you have a lot of gas wells all over the place. It has to do with air emissions, a lot of questions about the impact from that, hazardous waste, how that's disposed of, spills, all these types of things. And then there's the social impacts of a rural area with a relatively small population all of a sudden becoming a boom town, attraction for a lot of itinerant workers, the stress on public safety and all the other things that go along with that. So I guess to answer your question, what are the health impacts? The jury's still out, but there are social impacts and health impacts, especially when you're talking about decades. And what the New York Department of Health and the DEC set up here is we're starting to see evidence that these impacts are real. We don't know how big they are, but they're big enough right now where we don't want to go ahead with drilling.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with journalist Tom Wilbur from New York State about that state's ban on fracking. And, Tom, could you explain how this works? The governor Andrew Cuomo has decided that there is going to be a ban. How will it be rolled out?
Sure. Before I explain how it works, I guess we should talk a little bit about the history. We've probably heard, and your listeners have probably heard about the moratorium up here in New York. So the shale gas boom is, about 6.5, 7 years old. And when it was going ahead full bore in Pennsylvania back around 2007, 2008, it was ramping up. In New York, they decided to put a hold on permits, not a ban, but a hold. They referred to this as a moratorium. And while they were put the hold on permits, they had an environmental review. And they said, we're going to look at all the environmental issues of this. And when we figure out what they are, we'll go ahead with it. And this review was done through a document called, and it's a mouthful, it's called the Supplemental Generic Environmental Impact Statement, or the SGEIS. And people up here have become very familiar with that because that has been the main vehicle to hold up shale gas development in New York. So this review was taking place, it was supposed to take a year, then it took 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and now we're into year seven with it. And what Cuomo and his administration have essentially said is, look, we're going to ban it. We're not going to have a moratorium on it. We're going to ban it. And how we're going to do this is when this SGEIS, when this environmental review is finally complete, that should be early next year, we have concluded through this document that it is not safe at this point. So to answer your question, when will this happen officially? It will be upon the official completion of this environmental review, and that's expected early next year. But Commissioner Martens and the others have said, we know enough about it now where we just have to finish up the paperwork on this review and it will become official.
And Tom, do you see a domino effect resulting from this decision in New York to ban fracking?
A domino with other states, you mean?
Yes.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, this is, you have Cuomo, who is potentially a contender for the presidency down the road, 4 years or maybe 8 years. And New York is an influential state, and it's the only state that sits over a relatively significant shale gas reserve now that has put a ban on it. So, I mean, that's going to cause ripples. It's going to raise the stature of the anti-fracking movement nationally, I think, because it's a huge victory here for the anti-fracking movement. And I think one of the things that will determine how big this becomes nationally in the next 2, 3, 4 years is what New York can do now to say, we're banning producing shale gas, a major energy reserve. What are we going to do instead? What are we going to do on the production side? What are we going to do on the consumption side? And I think it's a great window for the Cuomo administration to come up with some answers for that. And if they do, I think that will have some national significance.
And is there a contrast between the outcry that you might see in other states like Pennsylvania if fracking were banned here compared with the reaction in New York?
Yeah, I think, the New York and Pennsylvania are different states in terms of their history with mineral extraction. So I think that Pennsylvania just has a different comfort level with mineral extraction going back to the days of the anthracite coal mining. And, of course, Pennsylvania was, one of the first states back in the mid-1800s to develop petroleum drilling. So that the modern petroleum boom started really in Pennsylvania. So I think there is more of an acceptance of the downside of mineral extraction in Pennsylvania. I mean, there's been you're still dealing with the legacy of coal mining there. And the trade-offs, the dangerous working conditions of coal mining, and all that. I mean, there's a lot of people that can probably they remember their family members involved with coal mining. In New York State, I think we don't really have that up here. So people, it's foreign to people. The idea that mineral extraction, people are going to come in and drill. That's more of a, I mean, there has been some drilling in upstate New York, but not on a big level. The mindset here is more on land preservation when you talk about the Adirondacks and the Catskills and the Finger Lakes. So I think politically it's easier for a ban in New York than it would be in Pennsylvania.
And what happens when Governor Cuomo's term is over, or if, as you say, others have speculated that he might run for president someday, and another governor comes in? Could another governor undo all of this?
Yeah, yes, certainly. There's nothing that can be done politically that can't be undone politically. And I think that things would have to change. It would be hard to undo. First of all, I think that the technology would have to change. I think that the shale gas reserve would have to remain viable, economically viable. So that means the economics would have to be sustained. And right now, we see they're not really being sustained. The price of oil and the price of gas are both going down a lot. And there are questions about how sustainable this will become over the long haul. But just as a hypothetical, if the technology evolves, the peer review literature on health impacts evolves, and they see that it can be done safely and the economics are there, sure, there could be a governor 4 years from now. It might even be Cuomo. He's held the door open that this could change, or I should say his commissioner, Joe Martens, has said this could change in 4 years if the other circumstances change.
We've been talking with journalist Tom Wilbur about the ban on fracking in New York State. Mr. Wilbur is the author of the book Under the Surface, which is coming out in paperback in 2016. Tom Wilbur, thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Always a pleasure.
And joining us now in Studio A is Reed Frazier, a reporter for the Allegheny Front. He's here to talk about what impact, if any, New York's decision could have on Pennsylvania and how the Commonwealth's shale industry may change under the governorship of Tom Wolf. Reed Frazier, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
You can join the conversation if you have a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. Reed, how will the state of New York's decision to ban fracking impact Pennsylvania? What do you see happening?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, I think first off, you'll see just from a very basic kind of economics standpoint, there'll be less competition for Pennsylvania. So there'll be, you know, in theory, there would be more drilling because New York gas companies wouldn't have a place to go in New York to put their money and sink their capital into. But that's already been the case for the last few years anyway. So
because of the moratorium.
Exactly. They haven't been allowed to go up there. I think sort of from the rhetorical side, I think you might see kind of a boost for environmental groups in terms of they'll be able to hold kind of an official document up and say, look, the state of New York, and you're already seeing this, the state of New York has found fracking to have have serious concerns about the health impacts surrounding this activity, and have them be able to, you know, kind of hold that report up and put that on the desk and kind of use that as the basis for their arguments. This is happening at the same time as Pennsylvania, obviously, has a new governor, a Democrat, which it hasn't had in 4 years. And he's got a different outlook on fracking and energy development, a slightly different outlook.
Right. But we should point out that both Tom Wolf and outgoing Governor Tom Corbett, they both received campaign contributions from the drilling industry. Certainly Tom Corbett, the figures, according to Penn Live in 2010, Governor Corbett, running for his first and, as it turned out, only term, received nearly $1 million in contributions from the drilling industry. But his opponent, a Democrat, Dan Honorato, received contributions as well. So do you think that Tom Wolf is really ready to take a fresh look at fracking?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're right to point out that Wolf, even though he received less campaign donations from the oil and gas industry from Corbett, also he did receive substantial, I believe the numbers are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign donations from oil and gas. But
which some urged him to give back, but there's no indication that he seriously considered doing that.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if he returned those checks. We'll have to do some digging.
Right.
He might be one of the first to do that. But you have already seen a difference in policy from his statements. Wolf is in favor of enacting what's called a health registry around shale gas development. And that was something actually that Corbett's own had something called a Marcellus Shale Advisory Council. They urged the legislature to create this registry in 2011. And the legislature did not decide to fund that registry. And it's basically you compile a list of everybody who says they've gotten sick near a fracking well site or activity operations. And you kind of start this list so that scientists can later go back and study, well, you know, if you lived X amount of, you know, feet from a well, you know, what were the symptoms that you developed or if any? And it's just sort of the basic bedrock of public health study is to do that. So Wolf has kind of pushed for this in his early comments since this decision came out. You're also seeing, I mean, at the same time, you're seeing the Republican Senate President Joe Scarnati has said he will reintroduce a bill that will create a public health advisory panel that won't do the exact same thing as this, but is a movement more in the direction of let's take a look at what are the public health implications of this kind of development.
And these are interesting and important safeguards, but there's a big difference between this and the idea of calling for a ban on fracking, as has happened in New York. Do you see Governor-elect Wolf going that far with it?
No. I'd put some pretty good money down on it that he will never ask for a ban on fracking, although I've been told you should never say never. What he said is that he thought that Cuomo's decision was unfortunate, that it's the wrong way to go about it. And that instead of just banning fracking, putting in kind of stringent regulations so that you can have what he says, have your cake and eat it too, have the drilling, have the jobs and the economic boost that the gas industry gives to the state, and keep residents near these well sites safe. So he's sort of called for kind of stay the course, but kind of ramp up the regulations. Environmental groups have not been too keen on his basically saying out and out that he's not in favor of any kind of fracking moratorium.
Well, he's calling for the extraction tax, right, which Governor Corbett was reluctant to do, and that is he's feeling that that would be the basis for all sorts of economic boost for all sorts of public programs, education perhaps being one of them.
That's right. I mean, that would be a kind of an easier way to sell increased spending on things like education is to say, well, but we have this whole revenue source that we haven't been tapping into as much as we would like to. Of course, there is an impact fee that's been on the books for a couple of years. It's brought in hundreds of millions of dollars. But studies conducted of the fee say that it wouldn't bring in as much as a severance tax. And Wolf was very clear that he was in favor of a severance tax, much more in favor than Governor Corbett was.
Reid, I asked Tom Wilbur about this, and I'll ask you, how different is the fracking situation in Pennsylvania compared with the one in New York? How much more, perhaps, is the industry entrenched here?
Yeah, I liked what Tom had to say about it. And he really goes back into the history of resource development in Pennsylvania. And I'll go back a little further than he did. I mean, Pittsburgh, the city we're sitting in right now, was founded a lot of our founding has been on coal extraction. And that helped build all the industries, the iron, the glass, the steel, everything that sort of made Pittsburgh what it is. And this region was built on a huge and readily available supply of coal. And so dealing with the downsides of that kind of industrial development is sort of part of our DNA, and especially in this part of the state. So I think there's just a lot more, appetite for that kind of extraction here. Now, to bring it sort of to the present, the reality is we've had 10 to 12 years of preparing for and then doing this kind of resource extraction in Pennsylvania. Tens of thousands of people work in the industry or in industries around it. Hundreds of millions of dollars in direct tax benefits and all the things that money buys. It's, you know, the horse has basically been let out of the barn, and, you know, closing the door now that's how it's been put to me, is you know, trying to close the door after the horse has been let out of the barn isn't going to, it's not going to fly in Pennsylvania.
Reed Frazier, reporter for the Allegheny Front. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, we'll meet a Carnegie Mellon student and entrepreneur who's on a mission to help people with Parkinson's disease. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.